Last week, I forgot, we left off talking last week about esteeming one another and the idea of esteeming and what it means and how we are to highly esteem one another. And I meant to pass this around. I received this earlier in the day that day, and I thought it was an excellent example of esteeming one another. Serves as a good example. So if we can't laugh, we are lost.
I love it. That's beautiful, Brother Scott.
Good. Well, you'll understand what the chuckles are about as it goes around the room. But so we talked about esteeming one another. We left off with fatherhood. The instructions to fathers, and wound up, kind of ended it, pointing out that we are to teach and train our children. Paul says here, although with a firmness and a constancy, also with a kindness and affection, because we don't want to discourage them. Mm-hmm. And that word discouragement there talks about a disheartening of spirit or a despondency or a losing of courage. And if you think about it, the Lord never admonishes us that way. His word is always encouraging us, always positive. So, and if you think about it, really, there's a principle in verse 1 of chapter 4 that we haven't gotten to yet that applies here to fathers and mothers. He says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master." Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, as far as fathers and mothers, we have an obligation not only to train our children in the proper way, but remembering that we have a father as well.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay? And I remember years ago, I don't quite know what the particular instance was, but I was explaining to Jared, I said, you know, I'm in one sense, while I'm your dad and I love you, in one sense I'm just your custodian and caretaker. Mm-hmm. Because very soon, you're going to be out from under me, and you're going to have to deal directly with your real father. So, and that's the way I raised my children, understanding that I have a father as well, and the attitudes and examples are passed down, if you will. I am responsible to my father in how I train them. So, something to think about. But tonight, I want to point out that we have six classes or positions, if you want to call it that here, that are talked about in this portion in Colossians 3. And it's interesting, the wives, the portion that talks about wives, involves one verse and 13 words. The part referring to husbands is one verse and 10 words. Children, one verse, 15 words. Fathers, one verse, 11 words. Masters, one verse, 20 words. But what's interesting, when it comes to servants, we're talking 4 verses and 78 words. Does anybody notice anything unusual there? We have to ask ourselves, why the emphasis on servants? Why the increased emphasis on a social class that the Holy Ghost knew would not always exist in every society? Okay? We had slaves in this society up until 1864, 1865. Other countries still have slavery, but there are many countries that don't have slavery. So why the emphasis on servants? So much about servants. Okay?
You have more servants.
That's where people get confused.
You think? Okay. Well, let's get into it. See, the word servant and servants, plural, servant occurs 81 times, servants occurs 67 times in the King James New Testament for a total of 148. 124 of that 148 are the word, Greek word doulos. It's number 1401 in the Strong's Greek. It means a slave, and it can be literal or figurative. It can be voluntary or involuntary. It refers to one of or in a servile position or condition. It gets translated as a bondman. The other 24 of that 148 are distributed among six other words that denote various degrees and positions of service, such as a housekeeper, soldier, minister, deacon, employee. But the vast majority of them are this word doulos, which means a slave. Doulos, in turn, comes from number 1210 in the Strong's Greek, a word that means to bind, to tie down, to fasten, or make fast. And let's have somebody go to Acts 16, someone to 1 Timothy 6, someone else to Titus 2, and someone to 1 Peter 2. And whoever gets to Acts 16, verse 24.
Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, 16:24,
mm-hmm.
and made their feet fast in stocks. Is that
okay? Made their feet fast in the stocks. That's the thought of this word tie down, to bind. And if you're fast in the stocks, you aren't going anywhere. Okay? So that's where this word doulos comes from. Now, Paul admonishes people that are in this particular position in life of being a slave or a bond servant, whatever you want to call it. He admonishes the people in those situations on at least three other occasions. The first one is 1 Timothy 6:1.
Let us, as many servants as are under the yoke, count our own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
The next one is in Titus 2, verse 9.
Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again.
And the third one is in 1 Peter 2, verse 16.
As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God.
Is that 2:16? Oh, didn't sound long enough. Okay. Let me look at that real quick because we don't want to miss that. 1 Peter 2:16. Let's make sure. Make sure I quoted the wrong one to or right one to you, Chrisette. I'm sorry. 18. Should be 18, not 16.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward.
Okay. Now, taken together with verses 22 through 25 here. I'm sorry. Yeah. 22 through 24. Do you see any similarities in those four admonitions to servants? They're all pretty consistent in the idea of the attitude that you serve with, the, I hate to use the word respect, but the respect that you give. And in one way or another, all four of them insinuate that as you serve, You don't serve that master, you serve the Lord. You serve that master by serving as though you were serving the Lord. Okay? So there's a consistency there in the attitude. Now, I understand very much, our pastor every now and then emphasizes this, that we are not born to be servants, we are born to be kings. Mm-hmm. But servanthood is a very important part of being a ruler. And we'll see that as we go through this. We are all called to be servants. Okay? And let's take the example of this first, before we look at ourselves. Let's take the example of the apostles. Yeah. If somebody will go to Romans 1, someone to Acts 27, someone to Titus 1, someone to James 1, someone to 2 Peter 1, and someone to Jude 1, and someone to Revelation 1.
Words in Romans 1, verse 1.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
Okay. Doulos, a bondslave. Paul, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Acts 27, whoever's there, verse 23.
For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve.
Ah, God, whom I serve. That was Paul that said that. And if you would, go to 2 Timothy 1.
Okay.
And verse 3.
I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, whom I serve.
Okay, there again, he talks about serving. Yeah. All right. Michelle, if you would, in Romans 1, verse 9.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers.
Okay, and in chapter 7, verse 6.
But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Okay, so do you see, is that enough reference for you to understand that Paul was a servant? And he understood and considered and called himself a servant. In other words, a bondservant or a slave. All right? So we've got Paul out of the way. Well, almost. Titus 1, whoever's there, verse 1.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness.
Okay, there's Paul. James 1, verse 1.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad in Crete.
Okay, another doulos, another bondservant. 2 Peter 1, verse 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, another doulos. Peter acknowledges it here. Jude 1, verse 1.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
Okay, Revelation 1, verse 1.
Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Mm-hmm.
And Revelation was written by?
John.
So we have five apostles that all admit, that all write of being bondservants. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have the example of apostles. All right, now let's look at us. Okay. Somebody will go to Matthew 20, someone to Mark 10, someone to John 12, someone to Luke 10. And whoever gets to Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28.
But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. that whomsoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even of this, as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Okay, and turn over to chapter 23. And did you catch that? Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to minister. So there, as Paul refers to it, was our chief apostle setting the example, setting the tone, okay, being a servant to us. 23, Sean, verse 11.
But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
Okay. So if you want to be great, get low.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Mark 10, whoever's there, verse 44.
And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all.
All right. And if you would, Hagen, turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And read verse 5.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
Okay. John 12, whoever's there, verse 26.
If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Ah, you expect or want to be honored of God? The only way to get that is to be a servant. This just gets more and more interesting. Let's see, that was John 12?
Yep.
Okay. Luke 4, whoever's there, verse 8.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Okay, that's kind of a broad general statement, but it applies to us. And then in chapter 22, Carolyn, verse 26.
But he shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve.
Okay, so he's hammered it home quite a bit. If you want to be the chief, you better be ready to serve everybody. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, let's have somebody go there, Galatians 5, Ephesians 6, 1 Thessalonians 1. And whoever gets to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19.
For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more.
Ooh, there's Paul again. Do we listen to and claim to follow Paul's gospel?
Amen.
Servant of all. Okay. Galatians 5, whoever's there, verse 13.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Ah, now if I was you, I would underline that one because there's a principle there, by love. Not by duty, not by obligation, not of necessity, by love. All right, and that will become clearer in a little bit. Ephesians 6, whoever's there, verses 5 and 6.
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Okay, and that constitutes a fifth admonition to servants who were in that position socially. But there's principles there that, again, apply to us. All right? 1 Thessalonians 1, whoever's there, verse 9.
For For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned from God, to God from idols, to serve the living and true God.
Okay, there's Paul again telling us that we're servants. Okay, so let's have somebody go back to Galatians 6, someone to Colossians 3 here. So with those, that first group of scriptures we read, we showed you that the apostles clearly considered themselves servants. The next group of scriptures, I hope, shows and convinces you that we are to be servants. Okay? Did it leave a doubt in anyone's mind? Okay. And again, I emphasize to you, as our pastor has brought out many times, we are born to reign, but very clearly we are also servants. All right? So let's see if we can reconcile these. Now, we've established that as believers, we are servants, maybe particularly servants one to another, all right, and obviously to God, first of all. But Christian servanthood is not what most of Christianity thinks or practices. In Galatians 6, verses 10 and 15,
as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon that Israel of God.
Okay. Now, Paul brings out a point here. Starting in verse 10, he says, do good unto all men. That's being a servant. Okay? But he goes on there in verse 12 and 13, he points out what is wrong servitude. And that is making a show, doing something to be seen or to be appreciated. You remember when the Lord was speaking to his disciples, and he said, in the giving of alms, he said, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing. He said, you see these people coming up here, and they're making a big show of putting their money in there. And he said, that's all the reward they're going to have. They got their moment in the spotlight, and that's all there is for them.
Makes me think of all these philanthropists today. They just, the corporation, they go, look what we've done, look at all this.
Exactly. So what it boils down to is, what I'm getting at is the majority of Christianity is looking for a show to put on. They want to be noticed, they want to be seen, they want to be appreciated.
Amen.
That is not true servanthood. Okay? True servanthood, and we will see here in a moment, is something entirely different. Let's go over to Colossians 3. If somebody's here, read verses 12 through 16.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, and then verse 2 of chapter 4, Michelle.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
And verse 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Okay. Now you see, the majority of the things that she just read here are inward things, things of the heart. They're attitudes. And we're going to see later on that they, as we mentioned a while back, they're also clothing that we're to wear. But they're attitudes. Mm-hmm. And because they're inward things, attitudes, they're not themselves visible on the outside. But what they inspire, what they produce, can be seen. All right? Sean?
I feel love.
Praise the Lord.
Good attitude.
Good. Walter?
No.
Oh, it's her. Okay.
I don't quite understand Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Okay, I understand that. But the latter part, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ.
Yes. How appreciated are you by believers that don't take in the Pauline doctrine?
Have you heard him by helping them? He's saying,
I appreciate them, but
you
not
appreciate them. What about their attitude for you?
They love you.
I love them. I got to.
Not you. What's their attitude toward you?
Oh, I see.
Do you remember where Paul said, talking about himself and his fellow workers? Remember what he said? We are the off-scouring of all things unto this very day.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Paul's gospel, the truth for that matter, is not appreciated in any way, shape, or form by the flesh.
Amen.
And like it or not, most Christians are babies. They walk in the flesh because they don't know anything else. So, and think about children, especially if you've had children. What do children want, regardless of what they're doing, where they are?
Your attention.
What do they want?
Attention.
They want attention. Hey, Dad, watch me. Hey, Mom, look what I can do. There's attention.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a child.
Yeah.
Okay? An adult, when they grow up, if they still want attention, there's something wrong. Okay? So that's the thought, Carolyn, the babe. And Paul talks about the child, the believer, the Lord of all, as long as he remains a servant, he's a child, and vice versa. Okay? So that's what Paul is talking about there. Believers that they want to have a show in the flesh. It's certainly not a show in the spirit. They want a show in the flesh. So they're gonna get we gotta get numbers in here. We gotta get them baptized. We don't circumcise them anymore. The hospital takes care of that, or the doctor, but we sure want to baptize them. Let's get numbers in here. Okay? Contrary to the idea that and I just had an experience with this recently with one of my relatives on my wife's side, contrary to the idea that baptism is nothing but the answer of a good conscience towards God.
Yeah.
It has no power, no efficacy to do anything. It's simply a testimony. Okay? And for that, although the person would not admit it, for that I was despised when I explained that.
That's right.
Okay, James.
Yes, this is good. I was thinking about what the wise man said he had seen.
Speak up. Look at me.
I was thinking about what the wise man said he had seen. What fools walking and princes or something. But I said that to say this.
You know, I've been thinking, Scott.
And you mentioned the pastor, how he said he vacuumed, he washed dishes and all that kind of stuff when he married Polly. I was just thinking about in under the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, and Sean said something about maybe they just don't, people just don't understand that. I've often wondered. And how it was said, if a person, you use that word voluntary, involuntary, when you open, which was good. And under the law, they said if a person chose and said that he loved his master, he loved his wife, he loved his children, and he would not go free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they were reminded that they were bonds in the land of Egypt. But my thinking is this, and Sean got me going on this, is what is it about that that people don't understand? Now, please, I'm not being naive, but I was just thinking about that. It says if a person chooses and volunteer to say, I love my master. Now, this is under the law. And my wife and my children, and I will not go free. And then he's to take, they're to take him and do all, you know, the, nail him to the door and all that, put an earring in their nose and mouth, whatever. I understand that now. But does that have to be revealed? When it comes right down, love.
Let me elaborate. You tell me if it has to be revealed.
Okay.
What does the boring through of a person's ear with an awl signify? What's his ear for? To hear.
Yeah.
What did our pastor talk about this morning repeatedly? What does he mention repeatedly? Hear this. The word of God is what's important. Now, what does the vast majority of Christianity spend their time on? Everything.
That's the word.
Does that explain? It has to be revealed. Now, let me give you the best illustration that the Lord brought to mind that might help you see this. Walter, I think you're the only one in here. Well, Pagan, you've been in the military too. So let me ask you two brothers a question. Do countries, governments, do they hire, train, and form armies to put on displays and parades or to go out and get dirty, muddy, bloody, and win wars?
The latter, yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Most of Christianity is out parading around, showing off their shiny shoes, their starched clothes, and their fluffy feather hats.
Amen.
Okay? That's not what this is about. This is about a fight. And anybody that's ever been in a fight, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's bloody, and it hurts. They don't want to suffer hurts, Carolyn.
No, they don't.
I don't want to hurt, do you? But guess what? I want a crown.
Amen.
And I'm told that I can't have that crown without hurts. So bring them on.
Amen.
So you're saying Paul's gospel now is what is a cutting like a knife. It's the whole word of God, though.
Flesh versus spirit. Again, the vast majority of the church is carnal. They're fleshly.
Right.
So not only do they not see this, but even if you kind of explain it to them, they want no part of it because it involves pain, reproach, embarrassment.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
They don't want part of it.
It does. It cuts the heart. Their heart.
Let me ask you a question. Just, I love this. Because it shows it so clearly. And I know everybody in here is just as human as I am.
Right.
Okay?
Dance. You're rubbing his hand now.
Watch this question.
And you don't have to answer me. Just think for yourself. For the first few milliseconds that you see Sister May get up and go dancing out of the church, what is your reaction?
Oh, no. Not mine.
Praise the Lord.
No.
Come on. It's uncomfortable to the flesh.
It is uncomfortable.
It's the most beautiful thing in the world. It is.
Amen.
Amen.
But the flesh wants nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Why do you think the vast majority of the church is not filled with the Holy Ghost?
And amen.
It's amazing you should bring that up, because I was thinking, after all these years, what is the really joy?
What's
the joy is the joy, you know. Amen. But I was thinking just recently, it's amazing you would bring that up. If someone has come up and say, I just love your, you know, excitement and spirit.
Yeah.
But if I said, just a minute, it's the sufferings that cause that more than anything else.
Right.
They would say,
yeah.
Good. And that's what came to me, Scott. It's, I think it was a wonderful time. But it's those times when you didn't think you'd make it.
Right.
Or you didn't think. It's those sufferings. But they wouldn't see that. They think it's because you're having a picnic every day, or I don't know. But it's just, and I never thought of that.
How many here have watched at least a few seconds of Dancing with the Stars?
It's been a while.
Oh.
You were the one person in the room that I was hoping wouldn't raise his hand.
I've seen it. It's great.
I did too. I did too.
Then you understand, look at the hours of practice that goes into
yes.
the choreography there.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's a group.
All
the movements are so synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Very excruciating.
That's what the world loves. My goodness, do they appreciate that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the time, the effort, the sweat, the calories?
The soreness.
Yeah. And Sister May gets up and goes dancing out of the church.
That's a different thing.
Yeah. What would a worldly person think of that?
They think it was something.
Yikes. That one's stricken with the palsy.
It's all joy.
Yeah.
Okay?
They don't
That's
right.
what it
was. Out of suffering.
Right.
But again, in the spirit.
Of suffering.
In the spirit, how can you not rejoice in that?
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because you know it's God.
Amen.
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 Well, Scott, that just reminded me, this job that Irma started on 2 years ago, when she first started, her boss lady said, we don't have all that Bible stuff in the church, in this job. So what Irma do? She said, fine. She go to work every 6 o'clock in the morning, bless all of them. Now, they bringing troubled people to her. Mm-hmm. And see, you can see how God worked. God put her there. And so God put her there for a reason.
Because nothing else works.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you begin to see, Carolyn, what Paul is getting at in Galatians?
Right.
The flesh doesn't want anything to do with spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it involves embarrassment,
right.
humiliation, pain. They don't want that.
No,
they want that's reserved for the overcomers that want the best.
So we're on serving, and the proper way for us to serve is to minister and to serve the saints first off,
mm-hmm.
before anything, but that is service.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you're is did I get it?
Yeah, you did.
I don't know. the key to it, if you will, the key to it, if you look at Paul, if you look at Peter, if you look at us, whoever it is, the key to it is being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Because He will lead you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do, and that will not be pleasing to or appreciated by the flesh.
Right.
And that makes sense, because we're all gathered together, so there's more love, and there's more, it's concentrated here.
Yeah. Imagine being in a place where it's
sometimes God will ask you to serve somebody that's not a saint, though. Sometimes, I would assume.
Didn't we read where it said serve
All.
What was that in Galatians?
It said serve all.
As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men.
What's that, Scott?
Let us do good unto all men.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So but, the world isn't excluded.
Oh, I meant more like, I understand, because that's ministering, isn't it?
Yeah. Have you ever given a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord?
Just a few minutes ago. just a few minutes ago.
Has anybody done that?
He did it just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
He gave a seat to us. And then I mentioned that. That's the least he could do, not the most.
Yeah.
And you reward it. Isn't he going
to
get
I was confused when I first came back, and I thought I was supposed to give socks to the... to the homeless people, and
because
they need socks for their hand, they're cold all the time, and they can put socks on their feet, and they can put socks on their hands.
It's whatever the Lord leads you to do, not what man's program dictates or what he wants to see. What the Lord leads you to do. And that's why man doesn't want any part of it, because he can't control it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because you wreck all his stats.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when he wants to go and compare himself to somebody else, which we're not supposed to do,
exactly.
All the stats are messed up because you wouldn't cooperate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. James, I'll say this. This morning, the pastor said he needed some water. That's right. And I sat there and I was asking, in my mind, Aaron Reed got up. He had it in his little backpack and went up there and gave Jesse a bottle of water. And then later on, and I'm still sitting there, why didn't I even? Blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I saw Joe. He got up. I don't know where he was, what he was doing. After Jesse got Aaron and given him the water, this is real.
Yeah, and he said that's
Joe
portion.
And Joe Rogers brought in and Jesse said, oh,
a double portion. Yeah.
And he literally, they just gave the water, you know, and I'm sitting there like.
Just another proof that God never barely meets the need.
Right. That's right.
All right. Incidentally, before we go any further, the word fellow servant occurs 6 times in the King James, and believe it or not, you're going to love this. It's a Greek compound, soon doulos, slaves together. Okay, so as believers, our servitude is not to be that of a bondman, slave, if you will, or even that of a domestic, that is, a housekeeper or a butler or a steward. And that word, if you want to look it up, the one that refers to a dispensation to a housekeeper is number 3610. That's not what our servitude is supposed to be like. Our servitude, let's have somebody go to 1 Kings 1. And someone else to Philippians 2, someone to 1 Peter 5. Someone to Song of Solomon 7. Our servitude as overcomers is to be that of an Abishag.
Amen.
Abishag's name means, and if you study it out, you'll find several different meanings, but if you put them together, her name means one who formerly wandered astray, but who became the ravished of the Father.
Where do you get that description from?
It's number 49 in the Strong's Hebrew.
It's so beautiful.
Isn't that wonderful? Does that describe anybody in here?
Yes.
Everyone.
Amen.
Yes, say it one more time.
One who formerly wandered away or wandered astray, but who became the ravished of the Father.
Amen.
I think that's pretty wonderful in Scripture, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Whoever's in 1 Kings 1, read the first four verses for us, please.
Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord thy king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishai, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not.
So here we have this woman, this young damsel, who was sought out or called and was noted to have cherished David. It says she cherished him. David was the warrior king, bloody man. Knew how to fight and took care of many of his people's enemies. But even though she was sought out and called to cherish David, the warrior king, she was reserved for and then wed to Solomon, the peaceable monarch, who didn't fight any wars. Huh. Who read that?
And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishai the Shunammite ministered unto the king.
Okay, so she ministered to him. She cherished him.
Yeah.
That word cherished is number 5532 in the Strong's Hebrew. It means to be useful, to be of service, benefit, or profitable to another. But, and let's have somebody go to Psalm 139 and someone else to Numbers 22 also. But it also means to be, to attend to or be acquainted with someone. Not just to wait on, but to get to know them. But it also means to know someone intimately. Whoever's in Psalm 139, verse 3.
Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways.
Okay? It also means to be accustomed to acting in a certain way. Whoever's in Numbers 22, verse 30.
The ass said unto the
Lord. Speak up.
And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay.
Balaam's ass said, asked him, Have I ever, wasn't I accustomed to acting in a certain way? Have I ever acted like this before? Balaam said, No. Balaam knew how his ass was supposed to act, his donkey. That's this word cherished. Are you and I, by any chance, being trained to act in a certain way?
Yeah. Amen.
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 Maybe because and by letting Christ grow up in us.
Yeah.
You think that could be it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever's in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 21.
And I trust in the Lord
to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like man who will naturally care for your state. Is that it?
Yes. 22.
So I ask again, are we accustomed to naturally acting like our lover? Paul said Timothy will naturally care for your state. That word means genuinely or sincerely.
Amen.
And I think we read where Paul said something about serving one another from the heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Can you connect the dots there?
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
You know, Brother Scott.
1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7.
Hold yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Okay. Now, going back to Colossians 3. Now, to be sure that there's no doubt, we are bond servants.
Yes.
But are we clothed with the qualities of our fiancé? Somebody read verses 12 through 14 in here.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness.
Amen.
Okay, whoever's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7, which is 5 and 6.
For your head crown, you like Mount Carmel, and the hair of your head is like purple. A king is held captive by the treasures. How fair and how pleasant you are, O love, with your delights.
So the king is held captive in the radiance of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I leave you with this. We are in bondage. Mm-hmm. But who is bound to whom?
Your bounty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.